More people out there than I thought there were going to be. A few weeks ago, I was doing my exercise walk in town, and as I approached Main Street from a side street, I heard a tractor-trailer truck blow its horn through a very irritating set of honks. Shortly after, I saw this beautiful young Alaskan Husky dog running down the street with her long, graceful strides. And when I saw her close up, she had a set of beautiful husky blue eyes that caught my attention and my heart. At that moment, I was on the sidewalk, and after she passed me, she started doing these large circles around me. And I lost my place. At the same time, its owners, a man and a woman, hurriedly drove down the street, screeching to a stop in the middle of the road, jumped out of their car and started calling for their dog to come to them. But the dog showed no interest in coming to them. Shortly after, the woman asked me if I felt comfortable asking the dog to come to me. I said, sure, I love dogs, particularly those who don't bite me. And she said, she won't bite you. As the dog continued to do her circles around me, I calmly asked her to come. Finally, she came over and laid flat on the ground at my feet. Frankly, I was shocked. I was able to quickly put my fingers around her collar, and I held her for one of the owners to come by and scoop her up and carry her to their car. I tell this story because it represents a new approach to Christian faith that began for me during my early to middle years, as this approach involves a dance between being responsibly in control of the task or tasks in front of me, while being able to let go of some of that control and let God, and let go of some of that control and let others impact the process and outcomes of those tasks. During these years, the Alcohol Anonymous 12-step program and an introduction to contemplative theology of Christian faith significantly changed how I experience God in my life, and opportunities to experience joy on a more consistent basis. Over these middle years, I began feeling overwhelmed by life and its many pressures and responsibilities. At the time, I was getting more and more frustrated with the Christian faith that gave me a clear set of beliefs to chew on and live by, but little emotional, spiritual, transformational connectors, that was a mouthful, helpful in dealing with the humanness of living day to day. In other words, I had not found how to connect to this life-giving resource, the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, a life of purpose, a life empowered to be a better version of my God-given self, a life of reasonable joy, and a life capable of cultivating reasonable peace in my soul. A breakthrough happened for me when Frank King offered a 12-step class during our Sunday school hour using the book 12 Steps for Emotional Health. That at least is how I remember the title. What I remember most about this class was our time of going around the circle, each of us having an opportunity to talk about our emotional challenges, as well as our growth and blessings along the way, all in relation to the wisdom of the 12 steps. With this sharing, we had the security of confidentiality and a group rule of not looking to fix the challenges of the one sharing, but to affirm and validate the good work being done, as well as validating each person. A Catholic priest, Henry Nouwen, spiritual and contemplative writer of over 40 books, was one of my first introductions to contemplative theology, or a theology of emptying self and listening for God. Also during this time, Pastor Barbara Schissler was also very instrumental in my taking on this theological perspective through her encouragement and guidance. Also during these years, our men's group was very helpful in me processing life and finding friendship. Richard Rohr, for my more consistent engagement with spiritual inspiration and growth, is what feeds me on a daily basis right now. I also benefit by having conversations with Cheryl about these daily readings, as well as her modeling the disciplines she follows. Over these years, I have collected and adapted a number of contemplative spiritual practices used for the purpose of emptying my busy mind, settling my emotions, and listening for God. I also incorporated contemplative spirituality into my basketball coaching that was oriented to the purpose of being a better version of themselves while playing the competitive sport they love. Allow me to share a few practices that have greatly impacted my emotional, spiritual well-being that I consider transformational and life-giving as Jesus promised. This is a counting prayer walk, a practice I used a couple decades ago when I found that my mind was racing with far too many thoughts and far too many of them worrisome. At that time, I did this practice through it two or three times a week for about a month. On my two-mile walk, I would count to 10, focusing on visualizing each number so to squeeze out the racing thoughts. After one set of 10 was counted, I continued with another set of 10. Then when approaching a traffic sign, stop sign, speed limit sign, curve around the corner sign, I would wait for a name to come to mind and pray a short prayer for them. Then after passing the sign, continue counting and visualizing numbers to 10 until the next traffic sign. This, a practice of emptying a busy mind and listening to God, and for those I was to remember in prayer. As I said earlier, I did this practice for about a month, and in doing so, greatly reduced my busy mind. During my second sabbatical from my work at Christradoc Mennonite High School in the late 90s, I took three classes at Chestnut Hill School of Contemplation, where I had the privilege to study under Sister Nierney, who was my instructor for both my theology and prayer classes that were life-changing for me. Some of you old-timers may remember Sister Nierney came to preach a Sunday morning service during the time I was studying under her. I know it was her first time preaching in a Mennonite church, and it was a big deal for her in doing so, and most likely our first time having a Catholic nun preach from this pulpit. Here's a prayer practice that I learned in her class at Chestnut Hill. It's called Night Watch, and some of you may have heard me talk about this before. Night Watch continues to be my go-to spiritual practice when facing challenges ahead of me. I do this practice after I lay my head on my pillow at bedtime. With this practice, I am mindful of my breath. As I am conscious of my breathing, I am praying in my mind, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I repeat this prayer until I fall asleep. The next morning, I gradually awaken to thoughts about God or the front burner challenge and what I might say or do in relation to that challenge. I view this as the Spirit of Christ speaking to me, and usually this messaging starts about an hour or so before the alarm goes off. I often write down notes that I can come back to later. This is a practice of emptying the mind so to fall asleep more quickly, listening for God's message as I wake up. In a Gallup poll taken through 2019 and 2020, The following findings were given about Americans' emotional well-being. The percentages of Americans experiencing significant stress and worry on any given day are typically highly stable metrics, showing little change over time. In 2020, however, the percentages of U.S. adults experiencing significant stress and worry on a daily basis have increased to an unprecedented manner compared with July-August 2019, with stress rising 14 percentage points to 60% and worry rising 21 points to 59%. The percentage experiencing significant daily enjoyment in turn has plunged 20 points during that time to 61%. In practical terms, about 53 million more adults were suffering significant worry on any given day to late March, early April 2020, than were experiencing the same emotion back in July, August. With these facts in mind, I'm assuming that all of us here this morning deal with a measure of stress and worry. I'd like to share a breathing practice helpful in reducing that emotion. And I know I shared two versions earlier, and this is a third version. I am somewhat into this stuff. And it's called the box breathing practice. Helps your body and mind return to a neutral state, regulating your heart rate and nervous system and helping you think more clearly and be available to what God's telling you. So it's breathing out fully, then holding that breath for 4 seconds, then breathing in fully with your diaphragm, and then holding that for 4 seconds. And that's a box. And you want to do 4 boxes at a time. What I find in some days that where I'm a little bit more uptight, like this morning, I may do more than 1 box. So it's, you know, it's a way to keep track of what can be helpful, thinking of the box breathing method. And so hopefully that can be of help to you guys as well. As someone who values passion or fire in the belly for the work I have felt called to do over the years, I also came to realize that this belly fire could burn out of control when laced with stress and anxiety. And as a result, sucking some of the life out of living and an ability to be present to the moment. Over time, I found practices such as the box breathing helpful in reducing the fire and made it possible to be more present listener to others and to God. As a basketball coach in my former life, I spent significant time, particularly in the last 15 years of that career, teaching our players practices that would help them deal with the pressures of playing competitive basketball. The three I talked about were the box breathing, positive visualization, and line prayers. Joshua 1:9 reads, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, including the basketball court." From this verse, we made into a line prayer, strong and courageous. So the long line prayers are intended to be repeated within the context of playing the game, such as shooting a foul shot. So if you were a player on our team and you just got fouled and you're walking to the foul line, and you got to understand the game has stopped and everybody's watching you. So that's an added pressure. And involuntary thoughts tend to kick in like, I'm not going to make this. This is a tough situation. My game stinks tonight. And so to immediately jump in with the voluntary line prayer, strong and courageous, and then go through with taking the foul shot, most likely you're going to be more relaxed to be able to do what you practiced well over and over again. It is my belief that God's spiritual strength helps us in the process of doing our best in sports, just as God's spiritual strength helps us in being our better self in everyday life. And it's one of the, you know, we have thought that it's best in sports that we also teach life values, and hopefully in this regard, that life value kicks in real life, of depending on God in that way. Recently, I picked up a quick read, 62 pages, in fact, entitled Redefining Anxiety, What Is It, What's It's Not, and How to Get Your Life Back, by Dr. John Deloney. One of the important takes I gleaned from this book was about body memory. In other words, a significant amount of anxiety we experience in our life is involuntarily triggered by body memory of previous experiences in that task. Yes, we may experience anxiety about speaking up front today, but we may also experience anxiety related to previous experiences our body continues to remember when speaking up front. We all have our unique anxiety triggers, such as going to the dentist, taking an MRI, driving across high bridges, as Claudia mentioned last week, taking math tests. I'm sure each of you would have your own anxiety triggers you could add to that list. In my experience, it is true that body memory can impact the increase of anxiety in my being. But in the same light, I believe body memory can impact both the calm and feeling at home when connecting with the Spirit of Christ through the night watch practice. In other words, body memory can impact our realities of brokenness and discovering a sense of wholeness through our connection with God. The spiritual and mindful practices I shared with you this morning have been helpful in settling my spirit and allowing me to be my better God-given self while doing the work I feel called to do in this stage of my life. Farming in nature, serving others, having conversations and affirming those who think differently than I do about faith and many other things in life, as well as enjoying relationships, all bringing me a measure of life that Jesus promised. Furthermore, my contemplative practices have directed me in having a loving relationship with a loving God. I continue to depend on these spiritual connecting tools for emotional equilibrium, and I'm still not what I envision I could be on this spiritual journey, but further along than what I used to be. In the early to mid-70s, and while attending Eastern Mennonite College chapels, President Myron Augsburger would often include these words in his prayer of blessing for EMC students. He encouraged us to long for God in our seeking and seek for God in our longing. May we too receive this spiritual blessing of longing and seeking for God. Thanks for listening.